How are you reacting to coronavirus or COVID-19? Have you heard of about the Wuhan shake yet? Now that's good thing. One good thing you want to do when you want to have a seat on the train, right? Or the bus. Have you watched that? Can you go to YouTube, Louis, and just type Wuhan shake? The 22, just the 22 seconds. The 22 seconds. Well, it's getting viral even in the conferences of world leaders. This time they are now doing some, well, they usually do elbow to elbow. And we do that also during flu season. And if you are scared of the infection or avoid infectious disease, you can also devise something you may want to, how you may want to express your greetings. This COVID-19 or the coronavirus, I've learned that there are already how many casualties? 3,000 death. Do you know that flu has there were more victims of flu in 2019? There were 16,000 casualties. So what are we talking about? Ito pong coronavirus, hindi bago lang siyang pangalan, ay bago pa lang siya na virus, but it has similarity with SARS, MERS. Do you remember the MERS? Middle East is respiratory, something like in, I don't know. But it's kind of that. So mostly ang naapektuhan ng coronavirus are those who are really very weak. And accordingly, more than 50% are recovering from those who are infected. So it is very advisable to take care of your health. And worrying it cannot even help about these things. Instead, we are to pray for those medical experts, practitioners, that they may find something to prevent or to avoid, or how we may fight this coronavirus. But this coronavirus, COVID-19, exposed the fear of death. If you are scared of coronavirus, it means you are scared of death. And the fear of death is very real. Who is not scared of death? Should Christians be scared of coronavirus or scared of death? Now, if you sense in your heart that there is this little fear in that, the fear of death is still trying to shake your faith. And that is a reminder that you need to continue praying for increase of faith, that you would rather trust the Lord, that the Lord would do what is best for him, than being scared and worried about these things. There will still be things that would come up, like the Ebola. Ebola is deadlier than COVID-19. These things come every 2 or 3 years, and this diseases try to remind us of the fear of death. So if we are scared of this, if scared of being infected, then pray that God would increase your faith in Him, and that you would trust Him, that He would, as long as the Lord's purpose is not yet completed or accomplished in your life, He will keep you keeping on. The Lord said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 18, let's read this together. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes in their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them all. They will place their hand on sick people and they will get well. Now don't try to go and lay your hand on a sick person if you are not if you have very weak faith. It could be that you will be infected. So do you interpret that Christ expect all believers to experience these signs of miracles that He mentioned in Mark chapter 16? Lahat po ba tayo ma-experience natin ito? The Lord gives each of us very unique spiritual gift. He may or may not give a believer a spiritual gift to make miracles or a spiritual gift of healing. So pray first if you have that gift. It is good to pray over a sick person, but to say that you pray so that she will be healed. Pray about that first and know if you have the gift of healing. And from the first century Christianity, the Bible has no record of event that says all disciples had drunk deadly poison, all disciples had picked up snakes, nothing of that sort, right? Well, Apostle Paul, after he was bitten by a snake, he survived. And maybe there were similar events that may have occurred, but they were not recorded. They were not included in the scriptures. Why not? Bakit po hindi naka-record sa Bible kung ito ay nangyari sa mga Christians? For sure, the Lord did not want believers to intentionally drink poison. I believe that. He won't ask you, Lorenzo, drink poison in front of your congregation, no. Or hold a snake just to prove that they believe in Him. Hey, that's temptation. Actually, there's this pastor who died 7 minutes after the poisonous snake bit him. He held the snake in his hand and to prove that Christ can save him from poison. And actually, his son also became pastor of the same church. And he was also bitten by a snake. Accordingly, he asked the big man to bring him on top of the hill, and God would decide if he will live or not. But the church member brought him to the hospital. And the doctor said, yeah, it's good, you are here on time. And he was recovering. So Christ did not command us to show people that we will survive if we intentionally play with snake. That is not what the Bible says. That is not what the Lord Jesus instructed. But when it is necessary, when it is essential or important for the furtherance of the kingdom, just like what happened to Paul, God will certainly save a believer when bitten by poisonous snake or mistakenly drink a poison. Or, I don't know, but if we have not heard directly from God, it is better to be cautious. Now, I am a believer. I need to go to Wuhan and pray over to those who are affected by coronavirus. Oh, are you sure you are called to go there? As caution to be from transmitted virus, maybe that Wuhan shake serve its purpose as gesture of warm welcome for now. So, well, maybe even now it's flu season. Shaking hand, biso-biso may not be very appreciated. So, coronavirus or natural calamities or man-made disasters, these are warnings that nobody can stop God's wrath. It's plain and simple. In verse 18 and 19, let's read this again. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. God's disapproval for wickedness is biblical. God made it plain, God made it simple that He does not approve wickedness or things against His will. There's no secret about His wrath, about God's wrath. God, the Lord gave the scripture, the Bible, for us to know that wickedness will be punished. He warned that eternal punishment awaits wickedness. And anyone who sinned will certainly be punished forever. After reminding his readers that the righteous lives by faith, Apostle Paul mentioned this wrath of God. Last week, in verse 17, we read that the righteous shall live by faith. And now, Paul mentioned this wrath of God, not just to remind us faithful to live by faith righteously, but to make it plain and simple that faithless have terrible choices. No mankind, no humans can survive the wrath of God. What is this wrath of God? It is the Lord's anger, His indignation, His vengeance against iniquities, transgression or rebellion to His instruction. Whatever He instructed in those who would rebel against His instruction, His commands will incur the wrath of God. It is the Lord's violent passion or ire or intense anger, a justifiable abhorrence that results to punishment of the offender. Now, someone would ask, so if God is love, why would He not just ignore? Why would He not just disregard offenses and forgive the offender? First of all, God does not contradict Himself. What He decrees, He fulfills. He does. He decreed that the punishment of sin is death. And He didn't alter that. He didn't amend that. He didn't eliminate that. He didn't change that. Every sinner is destined to eternal death, eternal punishment. Nonetheless, God loved us. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified as payment for all our sins. And every believer who believes in Him, what He did on the cross, we believe that He sacrificed on the cross for our sins, we will have the opportunity to live with the Lord in heaven forever and not to be punished eternally in hell. Now, recently, the deadly tornado killed a number of people in Tennessee. And You heard about the wildfire, and it damaged more than 25 million of acres of land in Australia. Not just in Australia, we also have here in North America. Anytime, anywhere, natural calamity, man-made disaster can victimize unsuspecting individuals. There are many unavoidable, unpredictable, uncontrollable adversities that we may suffer in this world. These are practical reminders that no sinful mankind can be righteous enough to survive the wrath of God. It's plain and simple, but not everyone who can accept that. People still deny it. Why? It takes faith to believe God, to believe His warning, to believe His wrath. So to believe or not to believe, nobody is exempted from God's wrath. So as believers, we are reminded that we should live our life by faith at all times. Why? We do not know. Nobody knows when a calamity or disaster will strike us. We can be scared of deadly coronavirus, but we can also be careful, right? To be careful of one's health, this exhibits that we do not blindly live by faith. When we live by faith, we also think about it. Instead, we've got to keep praying, keep asking God for wisdom. Why do we need godly wisdom? So that we may know how we may live our life carefully, not just on our own effort. How we may live righteously. And this would testify of this grace, the grace of God in our life. It says in Proverbs 29 verse 18, in Ephesians 1 17, let's read this together. There is no revelation, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom, wisdom's instruction. In Ephesians chapter 1 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know Him better. Why do we need godly wisdom? Why do we need godly revelation? Godly wisdom is required to understand and apply a revelation from God. So when we ask about answers to our questions from the Lord, many times He gives us answers. Even before we ask, He has already given us answer, but we cannot understand because we need godly wisdom to understand that. Perhaps you've been praying for, Lord, give me a stable job that I may be able to support my family. And the Lord has answered your prayer, but still you do not understand why this, why that. Because it takes godly wisdom to understand the answers of the Lord. So ask God, help me understand the things you allow to happen in my life. You need godly wisdom. And we have godly wisdom because of Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God. If you have Christ, you have wisdom. So how would that happen? Ask the Lord Jesus to reign in your life. When He prevails in our life, the wisdom of Christ prevails over our wisdom, human wisdom. But many times we resist because we think that the wisdom that comes from God is so simple and we just cannot get it. Yes, we cannot get it because it takes godly wisdom to understand godly wisdom. So continue to ask for increase of faith and enabling from the Lord Jesus to help us understand. Pray for wisdom for medical practitioners to find solution or antidote to fight the dreadful coronavirus. But there are other things that we can worry about. How about natural calamities? Well, natural calamities, can humans stop them? Can human stop tornado? Can human stop blizzard? We avoid them. Do not go the path of a tornado. Go away. With godly wisdom, we can choose where we may live. Well, if you can choose, don't live where natural calamities cause lesser, or live where there are lesser natural calamities. Winnipeg may be very slower than other provinces in the west or in the east, but I believe the problem of calamity in Winnipeg has lesser impact than in other provinces, like those who went to Alberta. When Alberta was booming, they went there, but then there was this wildfire and everything gone in smoke, right? We also do not intentionally travel where there's apparent threat for safety. Godly wisdom makes us decide righteously. So don't test God if He keeps you safe or secure. Titingnan ko nga kung malakas ang pananampalataya ko. Kung isisave ako ng Lord, pagpupunta ako ng China, pupunta ako ng Iran. How about those missionaries, you may ask? How about those missionaries who defied possible threat to safety or health? Now, going to mission frontiers is dangerous. Make sure you heard God's calling very clearly. And that God wants you to go to mission. Make sure that you are called to go to mission. God's grace is sufficient and keeps you safe until His purposes will be accomplished. I observed this when short-term missions became viral in the seminary. The first batch, they arrive and tell stories about their experiences, and the second batch were challenged to go. And some of those who have money also went to short-term mission, but they returned frustrated because they were not called to go. Some of them suffer negative experiences, and they might regretted that they joined. What I did was that I want to go. I have this sense of going, but I don't want to spend my money. So what I did, I prayed. I did not ask people to give me money. I write my prayer letter and ask for prayer that God would send support for me. And what happened was somebody who just came from Taiwan, I met that person 2 weeks earlier, and when that person heard that I was going, that person handed me a isang sobre, and I look at it, wow, I was surprised. This person do not know me, and that person just gave something. Indeed, I went to short-term mission, and I clearly heard that the Lord was saying, I want you to join me in mission. But I resist. Lord, I don't want to go unless I can bring my family. It's tough. Maybe very friendly, but it's tough. There's spiritual warfare out there. And you heard the other stories about that. And so, international or local, there is always a threat. You may be called to international mission. You may be called to local mission. There is always threat, even in our neighborhood, right? So ask for increase of faith to keep on trusting God. His power is more than enough for you to keep you safe until His purposes in your life is accomplished. You may live long, you may live short, you will glorify the Lord when His purpose in your life is accomplished. Verse 20, let's read this together. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. No sinful mankind has ever seen the holy God and survived. Bakit po? Bakit namamatay ang tao pag when they see God face to face? It only proves that God never value wickedness. When there's wickedness in us, we cannot survive the holiness of God. The Lord is gloriously divine, sacred, holy, and perfect. And just like a fire that would destroy everything that cannot survive its heat, the wrath of God destroys imperfection and wickedness eternally. So by faith, we believe that God created the world and everything in it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God created everything that you can see in the world? Natural calamities included. Did God create tornado? Did God create earthquake, tsunami, storms, blizzard? These things reminds us practically that there are things that we humans cannot control. The limitation of our power, the limitation of our strength and wisdom. In modern science, modern technologies can predict natural calamities but cannot stop them. Nobody can. So by faith, we believe God has caused these natural calamities for us humans to reflect upon, for us to see, now there are things they cannot control. Somebody can. By faith, we pray that we grow in our knowledge of God. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14, let's read this together. When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this, God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future. So bad things, God created them. God allowed them to happen to remind us that there are many things we cannot control. We can either choose to believe, we can either choose to ignore it. By faith, we believe God, of course. He does what is best in His eyes. Kung anong maganda sa kanyang paningin, that is the best that He wants to do. His power, though, is available for all believers. Ang kanyang power, we can have it. Believers are expected to tell others the gospel of Christ, for us to testify what Christ has done in our life. But first, we have to receive God's power through His Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, it says, to those whom God called, both the Jews and the Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Just keep on remembering that. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Ask yourself, do I have Christ in my life? Then if Christ is in your life, you have the power, you have wisdom. But you say, how can I use that? Kind of like, oh, meron kang susi ng sasakyan. Your fathers told you, oh, here's the key to your car. You go, took the car, and go near the car and try to open it. Dad, hindi naman mabuksan. Idi, sinusian mo. Sumakay ka. And then, Dad, ayaw namang umandar. Di, susian mo. Many times, we ask ang susi na sa atin, ang Panginoong Jesus. The key to God's wisdom is Christ. The key to God's power is Christ. We have it, and yet we don't know how to use it because we don't have that wisdom, right? We don't want to use that wisdom from God. How can we use it? How can we utilize it? How can we avail it? We allow Christ to be the Lord of our life. This is why we accept Christ not just as Savior, but also Lord. What does it mean to be Lord of your life? Siya ang maging master, siya ang maging driver, siya ang magiging magde-decide kung anong dapat. You ask Him in everything. If you receive Christ as Lord and Savior, God's power is available for you. God's wisdom is available for you. Pray that God will use your life as a testimony of His power and love. You certainly experience more of His power. Many times we look at our neighbor and say, oh, maganda yata yung trabaho nun. So you want to go and apply to the place where that person is working. And yet, yung kaibigan mo, he is promoted and you are not. Why? Because maybe God doesn't want you to go there. You are looking at the beauty of that job, but you are not looking at what God has already prepared for you, better for you. Because you are thinking, maybe I can have that similar lifestyle of my friend. Don't follow the lifestyle of your friend. Follow the lifestyle God wants you to have. People will have excuses. People will ignore God. Many believers have excuses. What's your excuse that you are late today? Pastor, hindi ka nag-remind ng DST. O nga, no? Kaya pag-pray nyo na ang government ay alisin yung DST. It confused me too. Many believers have excuses to ignore His calling. Reasons and logic, these are not the things that help us believe in the Lord. We cannot completely believe God with reasons. Even if you explain everything clearly, the Bible has explained it very clearly, and yet it's not available. It's not hard. It's not easy. We cannot understand God's ways. It takes faith to believe God. It takes faith to be saved. Remember that. So don't try to push and push and push, explaining everything. I am trying to explain everything, actually. But I pray that we grow all in our faith, even in this explanation. This saving faith is God's gift. It did not originate from us, from mankind. So ask God, pleading that you keep on asking that God would increase your faith. This is gift, meaning it doesn't matter how much faith you want to ask. Keep on asking as long as you sense that you need that faith to be increased. Now, before Jesus healed a boy possessed by impure spirit, it says in Mark chapter 9, 21 to 24, let's read this together. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered, "it has often thrown him into the fire and water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Unbelief, doubts, that is one thing that prevents us from experiencing more of God's love. That father was not ashamed that he had little doubt, maybe big doubt, of what Jesus can do. Jesus says, nothing is impossible for believers. If you believe, there's nothing impossible. The father wanted to see what Jesus can do, and without hesitation, he asked to help him to overcome his unbelief. "Help me overcome my unbelief." He accepted that he did not believe at first. That is why his words, "If you can do," now that is something that If he would only say, if you may do, that is another, that is different. So that may and can would reveal kung ano ang nasa sa loobin ng Father. Similarly, when we sense that doubt about the Lord, about His love, of what He can do in our life, most often we ignore. We just ignore Him. We just don't do anything. We disregard when we hear instruction for us. We are praying for something, but God is giving you instruction. When you are praying for something and you heard God's instruction, that instruction is leading you to the answer of your prayer. It's unbelief to ignore the Lord's instruction. So when we ignore, it shows we don't believe. Pray and ask for His help to overcome unbelief, just like the father of this boy. When our faith is active, our attitude toward the Lord's command is to obey. You say you have faith? Don't waste that faith. Let it be active. Ask the Lord, help me obey you. What you are saying, Lord, is hard. It's tough. I cannot do it. I know, the Lord says. He knows, because God's command is godly command and cannot be done by humans. We can only do it when we obey in godly way by God's help. Active faith in the Lord is obedience to His instruction. And simultaneously, it reflects His love, that His love has effect in our life. Did you sense God's love for you? How did you know that God loved you? He loves you, that He wants you to obey. Because when we obey, we experience more of His love. But when we say, my Father loves me, He gives me gift, and then disregard Him later. That is only a little gift that He experienced, that you experience. Instead of being more and experiencing more, we disregard it. To experience more of God's love, we obey. But obedience doesn't come from us. Obedience comes from the Spirit of the obedient Christ. So keep asking, Lord, I cannot obey you. Accept that fact. Accept that reality. And ask the Lord, Lord, help me to obey you. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 to 3, verse 3 to 6, let's read this. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His command. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar. The truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. Have you experienced a complete love of God? Thus it says, anyone who obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. Living by faith in Christ is imitating the lifestyle of Christ. That is not, again, we do not try to imitate Christ. We ask the Lord to help us imitate Christ. To live a holy life and righteous lifestyle like Christ can be possible with the help of His Spirit. So we ask the Lord again, to live by faith is impossible by human sinful effort. So we cannot just live by faith on our own. We need the help of God. So when we sense the prompting of the Holy Spirit to live righteously, Lord, help me obey. And then there's peace in you because the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Verse 21 to 23, let's read this. For although they know God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings, birds, animals, and reptiles. Now, maybe you do not make images as your that you would put in a pedestal or something, but to praise God is to glorify Him. To praise God is to thank Him. Thank Him of what He has done. You are praising Him. And Apostle Paul implied that it is wise thinking to praise God. In contrast, to know God and not to praise Him, if they say they know Him and do not praise Him, it is futile. It is foolishness, because it leads to foolish decision and futile preferences in life. As believers, we live our life not just to satisfy our curiosity, but we prepare for eternity, our life in eternal eternity in heaven. That is what we are preparing for. We may live long life. We may live 100 years. Now, some time ago, I prayed, Lord, if I would live until 50, I would be good. I'm satisfied. No, I live more than 50, and those are years of bonus. Wow, it's too short. Should animal rights gather much support more than the rights of believers? Have you heard of that? Animal rights. There are a lot of supports out there. How about the believers' rights? What does it imply if it happens? It happens in the government. Apostle Paul implies it as foolishness. Should church attendees spend much money for their pets, but hesitate to give the tithes of God or their offering? What does it imply if that is the case? Apostle Paul implies as choice of foolishness and not wise thinking before God. When we put our faith in Christ, the Spirit of Christ reveals which lifestyle is righteous, which lifestyle is not righteous in His eyes, in God's eyes. He also gives us wisdom on how we may live by faith righteously instead of following unproductive patterns of this world. Many things we pattern our lives to the pattern of this world. Well, there are good patterns of this world, productive. Check your lifestyle. What's your hobby? Well, my hobby is fishing. Do you like fishing? Come with me. Join me. Is it good? Yes, it's good because it can help me find good food for me. Can it help you store up eternal treasures for yourselves? I was thinking about that too. Can fishing help me earn treasures in heaven? Maybe, I don't know. Do you know Charles Stanley? Dr. Charles Stanley? Dr. Charles Stanley is preacher for more than 40 years. But did you know that his hobby is photography? You know, he loves photography. Dr. Stanley loves to take pictures and uses those pictures. If you have received In Touch magazines, those pictures in the cover page are his. Even for his books and pamphlets, they were pictures he took. And I assume Charles Stanley, when taking pictures, he praised God because he can see the wonders or save the wonders of God's creation and keep on looking at that. And I believe that he praised God for that, for the beauty of God's creation. And he may also want to share to readers when you are reading. That was why it says there, Dr. Charles' picture or something, that a hobby is, and we can have a hobby and still praise the Lord with it. What is your hobby? Well, my hobby is gardening. Well, that's good. Why are you taking care of your food? What is it that you spend time during your light or free moments? What's your hobby? Well, I go to play basketball. Oh, that's good. Why? You are taking care of your physical health. What's your hobby? You do not need to be a preacher and be a photographer. Oh, kailangan ko yata magiging preacher para maging photographer. No, you do not need to. What's your hobby? You love to cook? Good. You love to plant, a gardener or fisherman? Or you love electronic high technology? You maybe are good with that. You can use your high-tech gadgets to record how you may cook, how you may bake. Then share it online and even earn too. Maraming nag-likes doon, baka may pera ka doon, di ba? Or you may love to beautify yourself. I just love pastor to ayusin ang aking buhok. Then share it online and you may earn. My point is, whatever we do, wherever God situates us, in school, at home, in the office, our lifestyle should testify of Christ's transformative work in our life. You are doing what you are doing because God has given you that desire to do it, to testify of His goodness in your life. We testify of God's grace and store up eternal treasures for ourselves too. What is acceptable excuse of disobedience to the Lord's instruction? It is by faith we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, and God sent His Spirit into our hearts. With Christ in our life, we've got godly wisdom to live righteously, and Christ reveals to us what and how we should live according to His holy lifestyle. The Lord declared of His being with us, assured of His presence in us, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Let's read this together. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now God, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, assures of us of His presence if we go. Now, we don't go on our own. You say, but Pastor, ayaw kong pumunta, ayaw kong mag-obey. Very good. You accept it. Accept before God. Lord, ayaw ko. Accept. The Lord says, in us for the increase of faith. By faith, we believe Christ. Do you believe that He has all authority? I don't know. Then ask for increase of faith. If He is authority, then He can do whatever He wants to do in heaven and in earth and on earth. But how do you sense if Christ is really present and actively transforming your life into holiness? Now you will know it. You will know it that you are already being transformed when you are making disciple. Making disciple is a practical proof of faith in the Lord. When we make disciples, we can personally sense Christ's presence in our life. Now, I don't know how to do it, Pastor. Then ask for wisdom. Ask the Lord for wisdom, and from there, you follow. Then, I cannot follow. I don't like to follow, Pastor. Then admit to the Lord, Lord, I don't like to follow. Then ask the Lord to increase your faith. Don't just go because I said so. Go because you hear what the Lord says. It's not because about the preacher. It's what you hear from the Lord. So ask for increase of faith. And active faith is practically exhibited when we obey, if you are not obeying yet, your faith is not active yet. Just like what I said, you may have the key to your car given to you by your father, but you cannot drive because you don't know how to use the key. So, ask your father, how should I use this? I don't know. The father asked him. He may teach you, and that is, the Lord Jesus is the key to every lifestyle that we want to live as holy people of the Lord. So what is your excuse? Shall we stand up? Whatever excuse you have for not obeying the Lord, tell the Lord, Lord, I don't like to obey. If you still doubt that the Lord has all authorities in heaven and earth, tell the Lord, Lord, I can't believe. Then ask for increase of faith to trust the Lord Jesus completely. Ask now. And keep asking the Lord to help you keep pleading until you sense that you have grown in your faith in Him.